Thank you very much. I'm grateful for the possibility to be here. I will be the first one on this conference who will use the blackboard for his talk. Oh, Alex deleted his figure. That's a pity, because actually what I'm going to say is so close to his that I was willing to use his drawing. Well, actually, I have something similar. So I do have drawings, but as a caveman, I will write on the blackboard. So the model is the one that everybody is slowly getting bored of. It's not me actually. So. This is the popular model of Gaspar Gilbert or Bunyimovic, Liberani, Pellegrinotti and Suhov, according to your taste. I'm looking at a modified version where there are no collisions among the particles, but instead there is a weak interacting potential. In that sense, it is also very similar to what Dima and Carlangelo have done. The main difference is that their systems was smooth and that their results were rigorous. So the program is, okay, I should also write. As you have heard many times, can you see this? Where is that line?
A little bit back.
Okay. So the program is, as you all know by now, try to understand hydrodynamics in two steps. And the first step is weak coupling limit. Which means that the interaction is epsilon times some pair potential between the nearest neighbors, and epsilon goes to zero, and T is scaled as T is replaced by T over epsilon squared, so it's a diffusive scaling, and in this limit, the dynamical system should converge to a stochastic process of course on some finite number of sites, which is Markov. I could call it an interaction interacting particle system, which I like to do. Okay, now I can write more. And step two is to understand the hydrodynamic limit for this. Limit for the interacting particle system. Okay, so in this talk, I will also look at this second part, not because I have the first part precisely done, but it's sort of heuristically well understood. The system I get here is, apart from the forms of the functions that parameterize the system, exactly the same as the model that Dolgopiatr Liverani get in the week of anyway. So the stochastic model is there. I'll write it as a system of differential equations. So dEi is sum over j, which are nearest neighbor to which are the nearest neighbors of the point I. Okay, so now the system consists of a ensemble of energies only located at lattice sites. So sum over the nearest neighbors I'm writing here the energy that is being exchanged over that particular, so if this is over this particular edge. In words, on each edge there sits a Brownian motion independent from the others, which is responsible for energy transfer from here to here. There's a drift part and there's a diffusion part. Yes, so they are independent apart from the fact that WIJT is minus WJIT. So on each edge there's only one of them. And if you do it that way, then you can make sure that the energy is conserved. And there are these parameters B and sigma. B can be calculated from sigma. That's a special feature of the model in two dimension, but I will stick to the two dimensional case at the moment. It's not crucial for what I have to say, but it makes some formulas look nicer. Actually, at this point, the lattice could be anything. When I say two-dimensional, it means that the dynamical system from which I'm inheriting this is a system of two-dimensional billiard disks. That's when this B is so nice. But the sigma has this nice scaling property, which means it's homogeneous in its arguments. Also in other cases, and this is the key feature of the model. Sorry, the sigma squared, of course, on the right hand side. That's why it's better to write on the blackboard. It's easier to correct. So sorry, this here is a sigma squared. Okay, so one of the main motivations to give this talk is that I would like to point out important differences between this model and your model, which arise exactly from this homogeneity being different. Yes. Yes. So, yes, so You mean the existence of the self, uniqueness? I believe that this system should be well defined as it is. No, this is Ito. This is Ito. Okay, so there you see numerically computed example for this sigma squared, which comes from a particular simplest possible potential that I could find to run some calculations. Okay, so. These two variable functions, sigma squared, evaluated at x and 1 minus x. So this is nothing else than if you restrict to a two-particle system on the constant energy surface, total energy surface 1, then you have a single energy that can vary, that moves according to a diffusion process, and this is the sigma squared of that process, which is drawn here. Those are numerically calculated values. Yes, the red dots are the numerically calculated values, and the rest is sort of hand-drawn. Okay, so my goal singularity. It looks smooth. No, of course. So this. Graph does not show this feature. Okay, this is with x plus y fixed to 1 because it's two variable function. I'm not good at drawing those. This only shows the sort of the x dependence and then the dependence on total energy is, yes, that's a singular property there. Okay, so. I will try to show that due to this homogeneity, which is different from the one in Gaspard-Gilbert, this model behaves very differently. I'm not sure I will write every generator in detail. Okay, one generator at least. The generator of this thing looks like the following: sum over edges, say directed edges, y to j, difference of two derivatives, then there's 1/2 sigma squared of ei and ej. And there's another, oops, this is at the wrong place. Okay, so like that. That is due to the, that's a consequence, again, of two dimension. So because of this property that B can be expressed in terms of sigma, it can, so the generator can be written without it. This is a nice form because from this experienced people could see faster than I could, that it's not only that the energy is preserved. I'm reproducing Alexis' picture. So for example, if there are three particles, then this simplex of total energy is invariant. It's not only invariant, but the uniform measure on this thing is left invariant, which is in perfect agreement with the fact that the invariant measures. There's a family of invariant measures having the form that everybody would expect. So it's a product of exponentials. It could be something else if the dimension was not two, but in two dimension with the two dimensional, this happened to be exponentials, which is nice. Okay, and the key feature that I want to emphasize of this generator is that it inherits the scaling property of the sigma. Namely, what happens is that L of F composed with lambda, lambda is nothing else than multiplication by lambda. Okay, so I mean that lambda of X is lambda X. Lambda of an energy vector is lambda times E. Okay, L of F composed with lambda is L of F composed with lambda multiplied by lambda to the 3/2. Okay, unlike in the hardcore collision case. One of the consequences is of this thing, no one will be surprised that if I draw the conclusion that if L star of phi is zero, so you have one invariant measure, then L star of phi tilde is also zero, where phi tilde of E is phi of 1 over lambda E, well, times some constant. Okay? So it's allowed to multiply every energy by lambda to get another invariant measure, no one is surprised. Okay? What makes this model extremely nice to me is how it behaves if I add the heat bath. So up to now, this stochastic model was not invented, it was derived from a dynamical system, and now I'm putting in some heat baths by hand. It's the most natural heat bath you would guess. Okay, so DEI of T is, well, what it was before. Okay, so bulk term, which is there, plus sum over K, that K are some points near. Okay, so here are the points in lambda, and then here around them there are thermostated points with some which each has some temperature Tk. So sum over Tk, sum over k, which is outside and neighboring I, again, between the points inside and some points outside which are not in my system, again there is some energy exchange with some, according to some diffusion process, where this bk, bt of x, is nothing else than the old b of x and y, just averaged out as everybody would think. Probably this has a name, this thermostat. Okay, so averaged out according to that particular one point invariant part of the measure, which is exponential. And the same with sigma squared. Exactly the same with sigma squared. Now the great feature, so this is a good heat bath. Good heat bath means the following thing. Okay, I will not write the scaling properties of these, but everybody could guess. So the following features. Of course, the total energy is no longer preserved. However, if all the temperatures at the neighboring points are the same, then with that particular temperature, the old invariant measure, is still preserved and reversible. Nobody is surprised. But certainly, you can have as many as you prefer. So the natural thing is to have a one-dimensional chain and then only put two at the end. But otherwise, if you change your graph and make this point in the middle have 100 neighbors, formally it's still okay. Okay, so I wrote the thermostat by hand because it's so nice, but I could, if I really wanted, I could obtain it as some kind of limit. Namely, I could imagine that there is this point outside which has a zillion neighbors with which it exchanges energy exactly the way energy transfer happens inside. If I do that, then the state of this neighbor, if you like, yeah, then the state of this neighbor will be updated infinitely often, and the effect on this on the one that is inside is averaged out. Okay, so that's how I do it, and it works well. In this case, it works particularly nice because if I do the thermostat in that a clever way, then my new generator, which is the generator of the thermostatic system, will still have the beautiful scaling property. So what happens in this case is that L, which has some parameter T, a vector of temperatures around in my system, I apply this to F, compose it with my lambda, which is just multiplication by lambda. So it's allowed to multiply every temperature by lambda at the cost of also multiplying every energy inside by lambda and things happening at some different rate. Okay, so in words, T, this is a T vector. Yes. This is a vector of temperatures around. So, the thermostat. The temperature of the thermostat. So if I choose that thermostat, which is a favorite of mine, then this is an equation. There's no error term at all. And the consequence of this thing is that, so consequence, is that, again, if you have an invariant measure of the thermostatic system and you make another measure of it by just multiplying every energy by lambda, so this is constant times pi of 1 over lambda e, okay, multiply the random variable by lambda, then this new phi tilde is invariant with respect to the higher the generator with the appropriately higher temperatures. Okay, actually this argument I'm saying could be is roughly the same as what Gaspar and Gilbert have done for their model, just that the scaling there is different. Okay, I'm finishing very quickly. If you put the scaling together, if you put everything together, it will come out. So, if there is a Fourier's law, which I did not prove, but if there is one, then it cannot be anything else than something with the d of t being constant times t to the minus 3 half. Okay? And now it's a good idea to compare Gaspar Gilbert. Where d of t is square root of t. I mean, that's a difference. So as a physicist, when I want to judge a model, one of the possible aspects is whether or not its predictions are agreement with experiments. Pardon? This is just such a miraculous system that the scaling properties of the coefficients let you know explicitly. Well, apart from a constant, actually. Yes, but luckily or miraculously, the temperature can be dug out of it, and what remains there is a complicated thing, but the temperature dependence can be made explicit. Okay, so that's what makes this model so nice, in my eyes. Okay, so I'm not If I write up... It scales. So if I wrote the Green-Kuba formula, I would not be able to prove that it converges, but I, assuming that it converges, I would be able to extract the T dependence because of the scaling properties of the ingredients. Okay, so it's exactly this. It's exactly this scaling property that leads to there. Okay, I haven't written every detail, but from there it's easy. So what happens is if you have a temperature profile, you are welcome to multiply the temperature profile by 4. And you get another valid temperature profile. And at the same time, the current happens to reduce to half. And that's it. That already implies that D of T has to be this. Okay, so the question is, what are we modeling? So Thomas in his talk said that he would be modeling some magic material, which is a crystal, but there is gas inside, which I'm happy to have heard of. But I look at my model as a model of solids, crystals, which are insulators, because it's no electrons that do the heat conduction story. And at high temperature, because it's a classical model. So in my eyes, we are modeling heat conductivity in high temperature insulating crystals. And this is germanium and silicon on a log-log scale, experimental data that I dug up out from the literature. And these are salts. These are salts and the high temperature regime, say from roughly 30 Kelvin. You can see that it's definitely monotonously decreasing. Actually, it has a temperature dependence similar to this thing. It's just that exponent is not exactly 3/2. It's a bit material dependent. Thank you for your attention.